We're going to look at life, not death. If you want to turn to Genesis chapter 1, we'll get there in a moment. But what was God's intention when he invented man? What was the reason for man? What I want to share with you is so basic, yet it is crucial for man to understand if he's going to know about life and live it as God intended. God created man to live and to have fellowship with. Life, not death, was the reason for man. God wanted a living being to connect with. God never desired life to include death. God gave life to be lived forever. Life was not something that was short-lived. It was eternal. Adam and Eve did not know death, except when it was introduced by God's archenemy, the devil. God created man and woman with only life in mind. What kind of life was first given to man? Well, we know that man was created spirit first, wasn't it? Let's take a look at that in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God made us, or made man, in his image. God's image is spirit, John 4:24. God is spirit. So verse 27, so God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living creature that moveth upon the earth. He intended man to have dominion over the fish of the sea. I was thinking about, when I go fishing, I don't have too much dominion over the fish. Man, oh man, something went wrong. Maybe in the future I'll be a little more successful. We'll see. Well, Adam and Eve had a perfect forever life, except when they were tricked by the author of death, Satan the devil. In chapter 2, let's take a look at it a little more. Chapter 2, verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat, freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and what? Evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. I'm sharing the King James with you today. The serpent, the devil, beguiled Eve and Adam into eating of the tree God had commanded them not to eat. And God was good to his word, because the day that they would do that, they would die. But obviously, their physical body kept on, for what died that day was spirit. That crucial connection to God, that spirit that gave life eternal. Death was introduced to man. And since that time, man has always looked to death throughout his religions. You look at all the cultures around the world, and death dominates their religion. For God to legally redeem man and get back to an eternal relationship, he had to sacrifice his son to die. But that is not all. The victory of eternal life is that God raised Jesus from the dead. In Acts chapter 13, turn there if you would. Acts chapter 13, some great truths were shared in the early church. that were important to understand. So Acts 13, verse 26. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you heareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, talking about obviously Jesus Christ, they desired, they Pilate, that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. All these things were written aforetime. That's what he's reminding them of. And it was read during the Sabbath days when they would gather. And when, verse 29, and when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. But God raised him from what?
The dead.
God gave victory over death through the resurrection. Very key. For he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. Now, how many days was he on earth in his resurrected body? Some 40 days. And he showed himself to many different people. There's a record in Corinthians that talks about that. And we declare unto you with glad tidings, verse 32, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, and that he hath raised up Jesus again. As it is also written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that, he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption. He said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore, he saith also in another psalm, thou shalt not suffer or allow thy Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Wow, the resurrection obviously is the key to Christianity. Yes, Jesus Christ died, but so did many other people die that were standing for causes that they had in their life. Many so-called history heroes have died for good causes. But what counts is that God raised only Jesus Christ from the dead forever. No one else in the history of life got raised up to be ever with the Lord God Almighty. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You know, what I'm sharing with you this morning is very basic, very foundational. It's life. We are living life. Everybody has life, soul life, breath life. And what God designed and intended was for man to fellowship with him. And to do this, not just for a short period of time, and that was it and all over, but for eternity. We've got to see life much bigger than what the world promotes. Well, 1 Corinthians 15. Moreover, brethren, verse 1, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So, very key, very important. The Scriptures is God's Word. It's the truth on matters of life and death. But for us, it's all about life. That's what God wanted for us, is life. Let's jump down to verse 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some of you that there is no resurrection of the dead? So the Corinthian church had a lot of folks saying, oh no, there's no resurrection of the dead. People are not going to be raised up from the dead. Nah, no, not going to happen. Well, they're getting reproved here and being taught the truth from the Scriptures. Verse 13, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. It's empty, no value. And your faith, your believing is also empty and no value. Man, he's getting right down to it, isn't he? The resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. That's so crucial. And that's why that's a part of our salvation, in believing that God raised him from the dead. Romans 10:9. Confessing with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believing in our heart that God raised him from the dead. Yea, verse 15, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ. You know, if he didn't raise and we're out there telling everybody he's raised up, we're false witnesses. Whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. Boy, the issue is being set here very, very strongly. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith, your believing is worthless, vain, and you are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Those people that have died, that's it, the end of it. They have nothing to look forward to if this is the truth. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. That's so true if it's not the case where Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. See how important this is. Verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. First fruits of them that slept, that have died. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. God set this up so wonderfully to allow his Son to pay the price to die for mankind, so that they could have life eternal. For as in Adam, verse 22, how many die? All die. In Adam, all die. Even so, in Christ, shall all be made alive. Life depends on what Christ did. God raised him from the dead. You know, we should have great realization in the depths of our heart of who we are in Christ. What God has done for us in light of what we have to look forward to. Our life is not just 50, 60, 80, 100 years and that's it. But there's much, 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 much more. God intended eternal life. He didn't set it up that people live for a few years and die, and that's the end of it. But he wanted fellowship for eternity. And isn't it amazing what he did to make all of this happen? Well, let's look at verse 23. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, after that they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. You know, there's a different things are going to happen. We're going to be gathered together. Other things are going to happen after that. There'll be the resurrection of the just and the unjust. All the things that you can read about in the Old Testament and, of course, in Revelation. But let's remember verse 26. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is what?
Death.
And that's it. That's it. We should have such great rejoicing in our heart in light of what God has done for us. His original intent was life eternal forever and ever. Well, something happened. Death got in the mix, but God, in his great love for us, fixed it. And now you and I have the greatness of life eternal to look forward to. Wow. Well, let's jump over to verse 51. Quite a chapter here. A lot of good stuff in this chapter. So verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery or a secret. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Wow. This is going to happen to us. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying, as it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Wow, we've got the victory, right? O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? I think we heard it twice. I know we heard it once in the manifestation. I think it was said twice about the victory we have in Christ. And here it is. Here it is in God's word. Wow. Verse 57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What's the victory that we have? It's over death. We have the eternal life. We have fellowship with God forever and ever. But you know what? You know, I'm talking about future realities, but what about day-by-day realities? Look what we can do day by day. Well, what does God's word say in light of knowing these things? Well, verse 57 again, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, verse 58, as a result of this great victory, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Everything you do for God counts. Why? Because you are his child. You are doing his will. You are doing what is good and acceptable and lovely in his sight. So that's what we do in light of the eternal realities. We live each day being steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Man, we look at the world today, and even though with the COVID-19, the sports teams are limited in what they're doing, but they're still doing it. They're still playing games. They're still competing. Those players are giving their 100% in those games. And what for? Well, football, what are they looking for?
Super Bowl,
yep. And in baseball?
World Series.
And in the NBA championship. So that's the hope of these guys. And man, these players are dedicated to do their best in every game, in every situation. Every day they stay sharp so that they can be their best just to win a ring or notoriety of who they are. But what is our victory? What's our Super Bowl and World Series? That's the hope of eternal life when Christ comes back. So what's the point in everything that God has done and accomplished? Life eternal. God wants us in a living relationship. He wants us as his own. All these resurrections you read about in the Old Testament and Revelations are to bring back the dead so they can be alive for God. There's thousands, millions of Christians that have fallen asleep or died, but they will all become alive for the ultimate desire that God wants, fellowship with his creation. The desire of our Heavenly Father is to have a living family. Now, there's a couple of verses in 1 Peter chapter 1. I got to read to you, and we'll close here. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, amazing what God says here. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God. What's that mean, blessed be the God? He's happy. He's elated. He is so happy. Be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope, a living hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To, and that's not all, to an inheritance that's undefiled. What does that mean, undefiled? We were looking that up. To be defiled is to be polluted. You know, undefiled is being pure. Not 99%, not 99.99% pure, but 100% pure. That's undefiled. That fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wow. We have a living hope, an inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled. It's not polluted at all. It's 100% pure. It's going to happen. It won't fade away. It's reserved in heaven for us. We are kept by the power of God until we are gathered together in these last times. So why wouldn't we want to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord? Our labor is not in vain in the Lord. So I trust you see the perspective of living life as God intended. He wants you so bad. He loves us so much in the manifestations. Man, he poured out his heart to us. He's with us all the time. He wants everything for us. So we should have the heart to be everything for him. Be our best for him. And it's a joy. It's not some religious drudgery, but it's a great joy to be our best for him. To stand for him, to stand, not move, be moved by what the world is doing. We abound in the work of the Lord. Okay? So, Heavenly Father, we are so grateful what you've intended life to be. That we would be a dynamic part of it, that we participate in eternal life, that we are part of who you are. You put your spirit in us. We have eternal life. And if we fall asleep someday before the gathering together, no big deal. Because the next moment of awakening is Christ's return face to face. So you have just blessed us exceedingly abundantly. That's who you are, Father. So we thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
it could be. Right.